I'm going to read a quote first as we begin. This is a quote by someone. He said this, I'm going to slow things down a bit. Where was the love my horoscope promised me? I've looked under my mattress where I keep my things hidden. There was no love for me in the corridors of power. I found no love in the bar. Just songs about love and peanuts. There was no love in volunteer work, in just being myself. I found no love in the bank, in the sports section of my daily newspapers. I found no love in the farms, just my own problems and farm equipment. I did not find love on the phone, just a network of unloved with something called call waiting. I did not find love at the cash converters, okay, just going to translate that a bit. Just bargain hunters. I couldn't make it inside. No one needs love quite that badly. There was no love in the VIP room, in the pubs. Just me and a bowl of peanuts. There I only found women buying steroids disguised as ecstasy. There was no love for me in the daycare industry, just hard women dressed in pink. I found no love in the market, just hopeless couples. I found no love in burning the bottom of my feet with cigarettes, just artistic satisfaction. I found no love in the places that I look for. Hey, why are you in the belly of this dead elk? Okay, in America it's elk, an animal. Are you there because of love? You know, if you are a homeless man, you cannot sleep there. There is no love in writing about love, only a deadline. You know, in this world, love is defined by many things. But may I tell you, in the reality of your own life, love defined by this world may be the following. I want it and I want it now. Love is disrespectful. Today we see children disrespecting and dishonoring parents. Those are supposed to love them. Love is selfish. Me, I and myself first. Love thinks evil. You know, sometimes when you do something that is nice, people will think bad things about you. Love hates the truth. Because when we are told we are wrong, we fight back. Love is untrusting today. For the things that I've spoken about, you will realize that's exactly the opposite of what God's love is. You know, maybe what I've just spoken about, unselfish love, me first love, maybe that's why so many families are broken today. There are so many people's lives, even here, are broken by selfish love. Me, I, and myself. Perhaps there were so many children that is just thrown off in orphanages because their parents just had fun, or so-called the people just had fun and just left them to fend for themselves. You go into different countries of this world, many of the children have been abused, used. Adults have been used as well. Why? For money. The love of money. As you look at John 3:16, can I say that Christmas, God shows us a different type of love. And it is this love that I want to show you from John 3:16. I call it the glorious love. You know what's the meaning of glorious? The word glorious means exalted excellence, full of majesty, and perfect. Perfect. Sometimes some of you may have traveled overseas, right? How many of you? I think maybe in the Philippines, different countries of this world. I think when I was in the Philippines, I think I used Philippines because many of there are Filipinos here. All right, so I was traveling towards Baguio, for example. The mountains are very high. Right, and you look, and you kind of, if you're driving along, you can more or less see the majesty, the how big the mountain was when I was studying in Australia for my undergraduate degree. I was driving to a campsite in Australia. They have a lot of campsites in the countryside. So I was driving from the city. You know, city is all buildings like Singapore, city, buildings. But as I was driving towards the mountains, even in Australia, the mountains are huge. And I drove in the early morning when the sun was coming out, and you know how mountains are like this. And then when the sun shines through, the beautiful rays that go, it was just perfect. You just want to stop there, but you can't because there are a lot of people honking behind you. You just want to see the beauty, the glorious beauty that was demonstrated there. You know what? God's love is something so glorious that is amazing. You can never understand the glorious love. Why does the birth of Christ show God's glorious love? I want to give you six things quickly why God's love is glorious. For those who are visitors, you will find that we do have a sermon guide. Okay, you can actually fill in the blanks if you like. Alright, kind of just follow along. And then if you are really interested, you can actually go home and just study the Bible verses behind. Okay, alright, so it's all there for you. Alright, so you can follow along. Why is the birth of Christ? Why does the birth of Christ show God's glorious love? Just for your information, there are many reasons why Jesus was not born on the 25th of December. Okay, there are many reasons. We won't go into that. But I just want you to understand, we believe Jesus came into this world. Okay? But why is the birth of Christ, why does the birth of Christ show God's glorious love? Reason number one is because it came from God. It came from God. Because the Bible says, for God so loved the world. The word glorious can only be attributed to God. In 1 John 4 verse 8, the Bible says, he that loveth not, knoweth not God, because God is love. Can I say this? We can give love as human beings. We can give love as human beings, but because we are not the source of love, our love many times is imperfect. Agree? We give on the one hand, then we hate on the other hand. We say this, then we do something else. Not God. The Bible teaches us that God is the very origin of love. He doesn't just give love, He is love. Everything about Him is perfect love. His eye, God is a spirit, He doesn't have eyes like we have. But you know, God is love, His whole being is love. Everything that comes out of Him is love. The birth of Christ demonstrates this love. Because when you say that I love you, how do I know? Young man, can I say this? Don't ever tell someone you love that person, the girl, unless you are willing to marry that person. Do you understand that? Because what you do is that you are giving a love that you are not capable of keeping because of our imperfections. Does that make sense? And that's why maybe there are so many broken relationships in this world. But when God gives love, He gives it perfectly. The birth of Christ demonstrates this. Can I say this? Do you realize the word love in the Bible is never found outside of the Bible? Outside of the Bible, you have phileo, the Greek word for love, meaning friendship love. Then you have eros, a Greek word for man and wife love. Physical love between man and wife, the romantic love between man and wife. Do you realize the Greek word agape is only found in the Bible? It is unconditional love. It is a giving love. A love that gives and does not ask back in return. I say that again. Agape love in the Bible is a love that gives and does not ask back in return. If you look at that in contrast to the love we have today, is I give you, you better give me back. Yes? Huh? Boss, I do something for you. You know what to do at my appraisal, right? And even as friends, you in the family, the children will bargain with their parents. Mom, I swept the floor, you know. How? Huh? There's that bargaining. You know, that's not love. Genuine love in the Bible. You give, but you always ask back, but not God. God gives and doesn't ask back. Now, for God to be the origin of love, there are two implications. When you understand the word origin, origin means when it first starts this way, what does it become? Do you realize that your body that God has given to you is perfect when it's given to you? No, Brother Johnny, I'm too big, I'm too small. But believe it or not, every one of you are made special in God's sight. Do you realize there's only one of you in this world? Amen? Not many people agree. There's only one. You may have the same names, but you are, every one of you are special. You realize why? Because the Bible says, every one of us are specially made in God's sight. Specially made in God's sight. Now, what happens when you get a sprain? What happens when you get a sprain? You realize that in biological terms, when you get a sprain and you recover, I did occupational therapy, alright, I did a bit of medicine last time. When you sprain, when you recover, you will never get back 100%. Alright, my lecturer tells me that you probably get back about 90% of your strength. That's why those basketball players, they need to strap their things tightly and all that. Why? Because for fear they will actually break it again. Alright? And so to sprain your ankle, you probably have sprained again. Now, so the origin actually gets worse. Right? How many of you can run? Okay, those above 40 years old, how many of you can run? Some can run. Some try to run. Okay? Some don't even try to run. Because they know they cannot make it. Alright? Some try to run too fast, but their hearts cannot take it. Alright? So there's an origin, it gets worse. There's another type of origin that actually gets better. God's love, do you realize, because it's perfect, it actually gets better. The more you, because it's perfect, you will never understand it, but the moment you experience God's love, it just keeps growing. Okay? So, God is love. It is glorious because it comes from God. Number two, God is love. God's love is glorious because of the extent of His love. The extent of His love. Jeremiah, go roll, let's go. Number two, because the Bible says, for God so loved the world. Do you realize it's interesting? So is only two letters, but in that two letters, God described the extent of His love. There is no word in the human English language or any language to describe God's love. And so the translators only put the word S-O, so. For God so loved this world. The extent of love is broad beyond words. What is the extent of God's love? Can I say a few things? Number one, it crosses every boundary of man. God's love crosses race. God's love crosses language. God's love crosses social status. God doesn't care if you are rich or poor. God doesn't care if you're handsome or not handsome, thank God. God doesn't care if you're tall or you're short. God doesn't care if you're fat or you're thin. God doesn't care if you're a millionaire or you're a beggar in the streets. God loves you just the same, amen? That's right. That's why I'm a Filipino today. God's love crosses boundaries. I can go to the Indian continent and preach and say, God loves you because He does. God loves every, even the Mangyan people, right? I know the Mangyan aboriginals in Philippines, even the aboriginals in God loves them. God loves an old man. Those of you, I've mentioned him before, that his white beard, he just walks by himself. Maybe he's crazy. God loves him too. God's love crosses every boundary of language. No educational status. So what if you don't have a certificate? God loves you anyway. Amen? Because the Bible says in Acts chapter 10 verse 34, Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. But in every nation, he that feareth Him and worketh righteousness is accepted with Him. Number one, God's love crosses every boundary of man. Number two, listen to this. God's love covers every sin. God's love covers every sin. I believe with all my heart, there are people sitting here who does things in secret that no one knows about, but you know it's wrong. Do you know why you're not exposed? Because God cares about your reputation. At least for now. Think about that. Because God knows if He exposes you for who you are, you will be ashamed. You will be ashamed. Wouldn't that be true? Some of us like to read what happens in the law courts, right? Especially those juicy news. Well, this person did this to this person and did this to this person. Well, how dare he do that kind of thing? You know what you're doing? You're actually reading how to do wrong the next time. But you know, when the person is being exposed, how does he feel? I remember T.T. Dure. How many of you know T.T. Dure, the CEO of NKF? Alright? Well, thank God we have good lawyers like Shanmugam. Alright? Within 3 days, he exposed all T.T. Dure's problems. T.T. Dure just pleaded guilty. What can he say? He's been exposed. And T.T. Dure, for our overseas brethren, T.T. Dure is the CEO of National Kidney Foundation. Very big organization with lots of money, but it's been found out that he used money in the wrong way. Okay, he's been accused and he's pleaded guilty. No one will remember what T.T. Dure did. Maybe some people will remember what T.T. Dure did to raise a lot of funds for National Kidney Foundations. But a lot of people will remember what he did with the money. Can I say this? You may have good reputation all your life. Just one mistake, that's it, you finished. No one will, the recent MRT fiasco, the failure, you know, just because of one mistake that they what we call for what, the resignation of the CEO. But no one actually talk about what things she has done over the next few years. Can I say this? Your reputation is more important than anything. Did you know that? And that's why some of us who do things wrong right now, maybe it's on the internet. The things that you are reading and seeing on the internet. Maybe the friends that you are mixing with. Maybe the things that you will never tell your parents what you are doing, young people. But you realize that when you start to, if God exposes you, what kind of a person will you be? Do you realize it is God's love that is still preserving you? You realize that? Because the Bible teaches us that love covers sin. Can I say this? Some of us who may not have trusted Christ, God wants us, just get this. You know why God is protecting your reputation now? And right now you are here listening to this message. It could be God says, I want you to come to me so that I can wash away your sin. So that the sin and the shame can be washed away. Because I'm going to touch on Christians. Do you realize whatever that you have done in your past after you trusted Christ have been wiped clean by God? Oh, glorious love. Love covers a multitude of sins. Love covers a multitude of sins. Do you realize that God does not forget? How many of you think God can forget things? How many of you forget things? Put out your hand. Not many people, so there's... our memory is bad. How many of you remember what you take for lunch yesterday? Put out your hand. You have to kind of insert a disc and kind of rewind. some of you don't even remember. What did I eat for lunch? What? I really cannot remember. I just put it in my mouth and it's forgotten. Can I ask you, does God forget? Does God forget? Can God forget? God's memory is perfect. But you know what the Bible says? In Hebrews chapter 8 verse 12, just listen, I don't think it's in your verse. The Bible says, for I will be merciful to their unrighteousness and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. Let's say I've offended a friend and my friend is very kind to me. And when I approach him, my friend will just talk to me like nothing happened. Do you think he forgot what I've done to hurt him? No. But you know what? He realized that if he brings it out, straight away it makes a barrier in that relationship. Is that not right? But you know what God does? Christian, when you stand before Him, He says, I'm not going to remember your sin anymore. Oh, glorious love of God. Can I say this? Listen carefully. You will minus 50% of all your family problems if you don't bring up the past in your family. I say that again. You will minus more than 50% of all your problems if you do not bring up the past. Okay? Now that does not mean the person doing the wrong thing keeps on doing the wrong thing, huh? But you know what? God wants us to be reconciled. God gives us the example of what love is. If you have truly said, I'm sorry, I should not have done that, you know what God says? Fine, I forgive you, I'm not going to mention it anymore. You know what God does? He wants us to be reconciled back to Him. The glorious love of God covers our sin. And Christians, you know, if God does that, so should we. So should we. If God is able to forgive us, why can't we forgive someone? It covers every sin. And God's love is glorious also because it reaches every person. For God so loved the world. God so loved the world. Every country of this world, every person of this world, every baby of this world. Do you realize when children die, babies die? I'm not too sure any one of you may have suffered that before. Every baby who dies, thank God, is in the arms of Jesus right now. Because the Bible tells us that the moment a baby dies without understanding of the gospel, God graciously, Jesus pays for that sin and brings him to heaven. Amen? But when we get to a point that we can understand what sin is, and we can understand what love is, and we reject Jesus, then God has no choice. God loves everyone. There's a particular area of teaching some of you may be exposed to. The word God so loved the world, the word world here refers to the people of the world. Are you listening? The people of this world. Because there's a certain group of Christians who say, no, the people is eklektos. It's the elect. God only died for the elect. The word elect in the Greek is elektos, meaning a chosen favorite group of people. For God so loved the world, it means cosmos. It refers to the inhabitants of this world. Alright? So, the reason why I bring it up, because today there is a very, very strong teaching that believe God only saves select group of people. I'm sorry, either God is lying or the theologian is lying, and God doesn't lie. Alright? And so that's why God loves everyone. That's what the Bible says. There was one little 8-year-old Spanish boy. A Spanish boy, 8-year-old. There was this evangelist or this preacher. He was walking past. After a service, he was walking past the car park. And this little Spanish boy came. He was short and he was dirty. And his clothing had holes. And he looked at the preacher. He was pulling his shirt. And he said, "Sir, does God love me too?" How many of us will look at a small boy out there and sometimes because he's naughty, the guy is a... and we'll just walk past. You know, this little boy asked, "Sir, does God love me too?" And of course the preacher looked at the young boy, stooped down and said, "Of course he does." The testimony showed that after that the preacher brought the little boy to the side and led him to Christ. Because God loves even a boy that is poor. Can I say God loves every person who died in that Filipino flood? God loves everyone. The extent of God's love extends to everyone. Number 3. God's love is glorious because He gave His best. He gave His best. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. The Bible says God gave His best. What's the definition of best? What's the best? The word best has many meanings, but I'll just highlight two. The word best means having good qualities. Listen, having good qualities in the highest degree. In other words, it is absolutely the best. And also the best means you have done whatever you can, the utmost, the strongest endeavor of the highest perfection. That's the best. Let me ask you a question. Who has the best qualities in this world, in the highest degree within himself, in this whole world? Who does? No one. God has. Amen. God has. That's right. God has. Who has utmost power? God has. Who has the most highest perfection? God has. Do you realize to die for our sins, God couldn't send His angels? You know why? You know why God cannot send His angels? Because the angels were created beings. It wasn't God's best. And I need to explain that because the angels wasn't God's best, so He has to give Himself. Now, let me ask you a question. Sometimes we think, when God gave His best, why does God have to give His best? Do you realize many of us think as human beings, if you, there was one particular study that says that if we will actually reduce every one of us, all of us, if every one of us is broken down into our component parts, potassium and calcium, and you realize we're all made of chemicals? You know why you take medicine? You know what medicine is? Chemicals. You know why when you take medicine is actually to adjust your chemical imbalances in yourself. And someone has said, do you realize if you break down the human body, you are only worth $1.50 in chemical value. $1.50. Alright, you look at someone and say, wow, you're only worth $1.50. You know what makes the difference? Let's turn to a Bible verse in the book of Matthew chapter 16. Is it there? Matthew chapter 16. Let's turn there. Matthew chapter 16. If you have your Bible, let's turn there. Matthew 16. Matthew chapter 16 and verse 26. Let's read it together. Matthew 16:26. Okay, let's read together. Ready? 1, 2, begin. For what is a man profiteth if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Just stop and think about that for a while. Just stop and think about that for a while. Do you know how much you are worth? Do you know how much you are worth? God says, what can a man give in exchange for his soul? You know what's the answer? What's the answer? Nothing. God says, why do you want to get the things of this whole world? Because you yourself is worth much more than Steve Jobs have, what Steve Jobs have, than what Bill Gates have. Then I think the richest man in the world right now is a Mexican oil trader, I think, in South America. God says, you are worth, one person is worth much more than the entire world put together. Did you realize that? Do you realize how much you are worth to God? How much I am worth to God? Do you realize how much we are worth? Because God said, I don't care what man... You know, I was watching this Chinese kind of talent show with my father-in-law. And, you know, I kind of like... Some of you may watch what chef? What? Someone has to cook. And then there are three judges. And then, what? Oh, you master chef, right? Yeah. Then, your abilities is determined by the experts. And what happens to that person? What happens to that person when he didn't make it? He cries, right? He breaks down. Why? Can I say this? Why are you allowing your value of a person to be decided by another human being who is just as imperfect and on his way to hell? That's how the world treats us, but not God. You may come from a broken family, but God still loves you. You may have a background that is bad, but God still loves you. Because the value of your soul is so great. Oh, get a hold of this today on Christmas Day. Maybe this is the first and last time you will hear this. You are absolutely very important to God. But you know what happened in Romans chapter 5? Let's turn there. We are so valuable to God, but in Romans chapter 5... Romans chapter 5, verse 6... Romans chapter 5. The Bible says, for when we were yet without strength. You know why we are without strength? Because of sin. Because of the sin in our lives. Look at verse 8. The Bible says, while we were yet sinners. We were yet sinners. We were sinning against God. Verse 10. For if when we were enemies. Do you realize in our condition of so much value, we were without strength. We were enemies. And we were sinners in the sight of God. Let me ask you a question. Let's say I'm a prince. And I did the wrong things. Do I deserve to be the next king? I'm a prince and I'm going to be the next king. But I go around and play around and use the money and all that. Anyhow, Do I deserve to be the next king? Obviously not. Because why? I'm undeserving. As much as God made us perfect and glorious, I'm not deserving to be the next king. But you know what? God still loves us. God still loves us. We are undeserving. Can I say this? How much sin do you have to commit to be a sinner? How many sins do you have to commit to be a sinner? How many? One sin. Are you listening? The first time you disobey your parents, that's sin. The first time. The first time you did something that's wrong, that's sin. Do you know what's the penalty of sin according to the Bible? When Adam and Eve sinned, God says, I'm separating you from me forever. Oh, Brother Johnny, I think God's a little bit petty, right? One sin, He separates from us. You don't understand God's value. I thank God for my wife. She's my one and only wife. If any man in this church touch her one time in any way that is not right, what do you think I'll do to him? Does that make sense? Perhaps we need to begin to see sin from God's perspective. You know, you and I are so valuable to God that God says even one thing, I don't want my son or daughter to be polluted by one thing. Parents, if you allow your children to see things they're not supposed to see, you pollute their minds. God hates that. Because children are special to God, even more special to God. But you know what? Because of our sinfulness, we lost what we could have gotten from God. But you know what? In order to save someone of infinite value, point number four, God's love is glorious because even though we were undeserving, God's love is available to all. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him, the word whosoever believeth in Him refers to the fact that anyone who has ever sinned, although we are undeserving, God still loves us. Do you realize how much you are worth? I just told you, right? You are worth more than all the world put together. Everything that God has created, you are worth more. But because of sin, the Bible says the wages of sin is death. There are two deaths in this life, alright? All of us will go through the first death. That is called the physical death. I mentioned it before. When you see someone lying in the coffin, you see his body, right? There is no life. Why? Because physical death is a separation of the soul from the body. In other words, the real person, now I'm talking to you, this hand that's moving is not Johnny. It's the voice that is coming out. That's Johnny. You understand that? So when you see me at my funeral, you will probably just see me like this. Alright? Because Johnny has left. But it's Jesus who died for that Johnny that has left. That is the physical death. But do you realize the Bible says there is a second death? The Bible says the second death is called the spiritual death. Spiritual death is an eternal separation from God. You know what? Because of your sin and my sin, you and I are separated from God forever. 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 You realize this separation, you will never get back to God. Although we are undeserving, God's love is still available to us. It's available to all, even though we're undeserving. But you know what? It's available by simple faith. Because the Bible says, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The Bible says in John 5:24, just listen to God's word. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me had everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death to life. John chapter 6 verse 40, the Bible says, this is the will of him that sent me, Jesus said, everyone that seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life. You see, God wants us, after we have sinned, still to come back to him. As a father, I have four children. If any of them go away, what do you think my heart will be? If anything happens to them and they don't want to live in the house anymore, what do you think my heart will be? Lord, I'm going to pray, God, you bring him back to me. can I say this? This is the heart of God. Many of you who came here today, maybe you didn't even think about God. But you know what God thought about you? You know how I know that? He got someone to invite you. Can I say that again? We're not thinking about God, but God was thinking about you. Because He sent someone to get you here so that you can understand in a deeper way how much He loves you. Even though we were undeserving, we didn't even think about God. Let's turn to Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3. The Bible says, "It is none right." Verse number 10, I'll just read, you just follow along. This is what God Himself said. "As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God." Do you seek God in your life? When you make decisions for your career, do you seek God? When you make decisions for your relationships, do you seek God? Huh? We don't think about God. God thinks about us. Oh, He thinks about us every day. The Bible says in Psalm 139, "How precious are thy thoughts towards me." In Psalm 139, the psalmist goes on to say, you don't have to turn there. God says, if I were to count the number of thoughts, you know what the psalmist David said? It will be more like the sands of the sea. Can you count sand? God says, the thoughts I think about you is more than the sands of this world. That's how much God thinks about us, but we don't think about God. Can you see, in comparison to human love, God's love is so great. God does not need to do anything. God does not need to do us to do anything, but simply to trust Him completely. Although it is we are undeserving, God's love is still available to us. Point number 5. God's love is glorious because it saves from everlasting death. Oh, listen to this. "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish." Should not perish. Should not perish. What does that mean? Should not perish. I told you about the two deaths just now. The first is the physical death. We will all experience physical death. One of these days, you are going to be at my funeral. Or I will be at your funeral. We will all experience that. No one escapes that. Do you realize we can escape the second one? We can escape the second one. It saves from everlasting death. But you know what? You know what decides the difference? Let me explain to you what perish means. Let's turn to Revelation chapter 14, verse 10. Sorry, Matthew chapter 25. Matthew 25 and verse 46. Let me explain to you perish. Matthew 25, verse 46. The Bible says this. Matthew 25, verse 46. This is spoken of by the Lord Jesus Christ. And He said this, "And these shall go away into everlasting punishment." There are many groups today that teach that when you die, you just get reincarnated. Okay? If you are good, you get a reincarnation of good. If you are not so good, you may come back as something else. Alright, let's say I'm a good man, okay? I'll come back maybe as the president of the US next time. Okay. Alright, or president of the Philippines. Because I wear this one. And then the reincarnation say, okay, you wear this so you can be the But if I'm not so good, I may come back as a fish or a cockroach. That's what they believe. Huh? You realize when they feed the fishes in the Thai River? It was an eye-opener to me and my family. When the Thai people buy $2, 2 baht or 10 baht, you know, the bread, and they throw it into the river so the fishes to come and eat, you realize what they are doing? The tour guide explained to us, they are actually doing charity. Because of their belief of reincarnation, they believe that the fishes could be your uncles or your... That's what they believe. Okay, if I'm bad, I become a fish. If I'm good, I become the next king of whatever, Spain or something. Some people believe that after you die, you go to a place where all your sins are burned up first before you go up to heaven. That's purgatory. Some people even believe that when you die, you kind of poof. In China, many believe there is no such thing as a soul. Once you die, you're finished. You just go to the ashes and you're gone. But God says in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27, it is appointed unto man once to die. After that is the judgment. After that is the judgment. Okay? Doesn't sound to me that you have an opportunity to make things right. Doesn't sound to me that you're going to come back again. Doesn't sound to me that you're going to have poof. Now, can I say this? If you analyze the tree, purgatory, reincarnation, and poof, this tree, do you realize it all gives man a second chance after death? So what if I poof? That's why in China, life is cheap. If I'm not wrong, last time, you know, in war, you know how they clear minefields? You know minefield, a place full of bombs and all. You know how to clear minefields? They use a human minefield. Because life is cheap, all the soldiers just line up and they just walk past and poof. Life is cheap. Even today, North Korea, life is cheap. And people, they just execute them like nobody's business. Let's say poof, it's a second chance. Because so what? Doesn't care how you live, you just do what you want. Purgatory or poof. Well, I just kind of sin. I try to balance my good works and my bad works. But when you head to back purgatory, just hope that your relatives are pretty rich. Huh? You got to pay money at Christmas time. You got to go to church to pay money, right? At Easter, you got to pay, right? To hopefully get them out of purgatory. But question for you, how much do you have to pay to get them out? Who decides? Do you realize in the 15th, 16th century, you know who decides? The priest. Not enough money for the church. Well, let's keep that guy there longer. Who decides? If you're reincarnation, that means I get another chance, right? Can I say this as pastor? If reincarnation is true, I'll do very well in my next life. I'm not saying I'm very good. But if reincarnation is true, I will do very well in the next life. Now, question for you. If the Bible is true, there is no second chance. Your choice. Your choice. Because God says, when you die, after that is a judgment. Because God realized the value of your soul, that when you die, you realize where you go. The Bible says, Matthew 25:46, you will go away into everlasting punishment. You know what that means? It's not just everlasting separation from God, it's an everlasting separation from God in a place the Bible calls the lake of fire. Now, if Jesus Christ is true, and He is in history, no one has disproved Him. That means what He says about heaven and hell is true. If He is true, then when you are a Christian, when you die, where will you go? You go to heaven. But if you have never trusted Christ as your Savior, you know what is going to happen to you? God is not talking about a religion here. Jesus hates religion. You know why? It distracts from God. That's why in Matthew 23, He had to scold the Pharisees. How dare you shut up the door to God by your religious practices. God's not interested in religion. God's interested in a relationship with Him. We are so valuable to God. God's not going to put His love in an institution whereby man is in charge. He's going to put an institution where God is in charge. Alright? And so when you realize that we are all on our way to hell. Because of sin, the Bible says we are forever separated from hell in a place called the lake of fire. In the lake of fire, which will burn forever. Let's turn to Revelation 14 and verse 10. Revelation 14 verse 10. Revelation 14 and verse 10. This is a description about hell. The Bible says, I'll just read, the same shall drink the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of His indignation, and he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment ascended up forever and ever, and they have no rest day or night that worship the beast. Can I say this? When you end up in hell, there is no escape. There is no way you're going to get out of that place. Because God said it's going to be everlasting punishment for everyone who sinned. Hitler will be there. Kim Jong-il will be there. Because of he didn't believe in God and he shut up the heaven to the whole of North Korea. Many of the communist country leaders will be there. Mao Zedong will be there. Why? Because God says, you have murdered so many people. Sometimes say, God, if God is a God of love, why is this happened to me? Mark it down. One day, God will make every one of them come out to give an account. Turn to Revelation 20. You know why I'm passionate? I hope I don't scare you. But I want us to understand what God says. Revelation chapter 20. The Bible says in verse number 11, I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, whose face the heaven and earth fled away, and there was found no place for them. I saw the dead, small and great. That means whether you are the president or you are the lowest beggar, stand before God. And the books were open, and God judged these people according to the books. Verse 13, the sea gave up the dead. No, I always use this illustration. You know the Titanic in 1917? The Titanic sank, 2,500 people on board. Only 700 people got saved. 1,700 people died in the watery grave. Many people say when you are drowned, usually the fishes will have extra food. Alright, the fishes will eat you. Can I say this? The Bible says the sea gave up the dead. You know what that means? Everyone that died, 1917, 1,700 of them, God is going to get them. See, you give them up. Everyone, God will put you together to stand before Him in a great white throne so that He will judge us according to our sin. And then look at the last part. Whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Can I say this? Jesus, who wrote the Bible, said this. I know where you guys are headed. I know where you guys are headed. But I love you so much. We deserve to go to a devil's hell. Man has created religion to try to get us back to heaven. It's not going to work. Because the Bible says, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. It is not by Ambassador Baptist Church that you go to heaven. It is by Jesus Christ. Amen. It is not by a church. No religious organization on the face of this earth can ever bring us to heaven. Only Jesus can. If you put your faith in a church, you will die and go to a devil's hell. That's what the Bible says. Jesus hated religion. I'm saying this because there are many people who are putting their faith in religion and they will die and go to hell. But Jesus says, believe on me. Believe on me. Jesus says, believe on me and you will be saved. Don't put your faith in religion. Put your faith in Jesus Christ. He was the one who died on the cross. Not your priest, not Brother Johnny, not anyone else. It was Jesus. Put your faith 100% on Him. Oh, I'm shouting that because there are many people, unfortunately, who will die and go to a devil's hell because you continue to follow your religion. Oh, for God's sake, come to Christ today. Because for God so loved this world that He gave His Son. You know why He had to die? Who can pay the price for one soul? Who can pay the price for one soul? How much is one soul worth? Huh? How much is one soul worth? It is worth the world. It is worth everything that you can ever have in this world, right? Do you realize there's only one person in the universe of man that can pay that price? You know who? Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. You know why I'm a Christian? Because Jesus loved me so much. He loved me so much. You know why I'm a pastor today? It's not because of what I've done. It's because of what He has done for me. You will never understand real love. You can understand physical love. You will understand God's love until you come to Jesus Christ. But before you understand the love of God, you have to understand the seriousness of sin. You will never understand. You know why today when you share the Bible with someone, I don't want religion, I don't want Christ, I've got better things to do. Because people don't understand how much God loves them. Hell is forever, my friend. Hell is forever. You will never see another sunshine. When you are there, you will never see the flower. You will never see the beauty of the flower. You will never see the smile of another person's face. You will never see, you will never feel a handshake. You will never feel a touch of another person. You will never see your friends anymore. Don't buy that lie. People will say, oh, go to hell. I have a good time with my friend. You know there's only one companion for you, the demon and his angels. And the Bible says outer darkness. Have you ever been, maybe in the Philippines you may have, whereby you put your hand in front of you, you cannot see anything? Huh? The Bible calls it outer darkness. The darkness will be so severe, you can feel the darkness. You will be so screaming, shouting. You will be in a lake of fire, you will be burning, but you will never be burnt. Have you experienced that before? In medical terms, it's called phantom pain, whereby a person may be experiencing pain for a long time, and they just couldn't find out why, and finally the hand is not cannot be used anymore, and so they chop off that hand because to try to get rid of some of the sensation. But you know what? If you read the medical dictionary or some medical journals, you will find that even after the hand is put off, you will still feel that pain there. But when you reach over to try to stop the pain, your hand is no longer there. The pain continues. It's called phantom pain. You know, in hell, it's not going to be phantom. It's going to be real pain. And that pain will go on forever and ever and ever. Do you realize that Jesus Christ knew you were going to go there and say, I cannot, because of my great love, stand around and do nothing? That's why He came. God of creation, the one who made you, the one, the fact that you are here today is because He gave you life. Did you know that? Do you realize that the fact that you are breathing, friends from Philippines, the fact that you have the opportunity to come all the way here, it could be God just wants you to understand this. We had a Filipino friend who came here many months ago. Oh, she didn't get a job here. She found something better. She found Jesus Christ. She went back, her life was changed. Now she wants just to reach out. She was into drugs, she was into alcohol. But you know, when she found Jesus, her entire life was changed. Or she didn't get a job in Singapore. She found something far better. And when she went back, she was saying her friends found, what happened to you? She said, I found Jesus. He changed my life. Many of us, even yesterday on Saturday, someone shared how Jesus changed your life. But you know what? God's glorious love is glorious because He saved us from everlasting punishment. When Jesus cried, you know how did God pay the price for us? Do you realize everything you have done wrong must be paid for? Let me ask you a question. Can sin be forgiven? How many of you say sin can be forgiven? How many of you say sin cannot be forgiven? How many of you don't know? Honestly, can sin be forgiven? Can I say this from the Bible? Sin can never be forgiven. It must be paid for. That opened my eyes. Children, are you listening? Every time you disobey your parents, someone has got to pay for that sin. When one of my daughters went to NTUC FairPrice. The watermelon was $1.99. My daughter was 4 years old or 3 years old. Guess what? She thought she was strong. She held the watermelon and passed it to me and the watermelon became pink on the floor. In other words, it broke. She looked at me, I look at her. And I look at her again, and she looked at me again. And it's obvious she cannot pay for it. Although she got money in the bank, she don't know how to use it. Because she haven't learned to count. ATM. So who has to pay? Of course the father has to pay, right? Thank God it's on special, only $1.99. So I went to the NTUC lady and say, more courteous than that. Excuse me, my daughter actually dropped that, so can I pay? You know what she said? Don't worry about it. Oh, I don't have to pay, right? Free. No. Who has to pay for the watermelon? The NTUC. They have to absorb that as a loss. Does that make sense? Simple illustration to show you, every time we do something that is wrong, it has to be paid for. Thank God the sinner can be forgiven. If you do not realize how great God's love is, you and I are supposed to pay for every single sin that we have ever committed. Do you realize that? Have you read in the papers whereby when a person is being charged in court, and they say, this is a whole list of charges against you. They'll dig out, how many years? Some people have read 500 charges against them. Have you heard of people that have been given 4 life sentences? They're not coming out. You know why? They've got to pay for every sin, everything. How many of you know that happens in our law courts? Huh? Why is it, do you think that God will just close our eyes to our sin? He's not going to close our eyes to sin. You know where the law courts is based on? You know where the laws of Singapore are based on? It's based from, we got our laws from the British. You know where the British get their laws from? Get it from the Bible. Get it from the Bible. Do you realize the Bible teach that if you steal something, you're supposed to pay back 2 times? That's why those people who steal or criminal breach of trust, they got to pay back much more. You know why it all came from the Bible? Because God is the all-giver. But you know what? God said, God knows you and I can never pay for that sin. When Jesus Christ came, He was the infinite God. An infinite God can pay for an infinite number of sins, for an infinite number of people, for an infinite number of time. That's why when Jesus Christ died on the cross, He said, it is finished. The entire debt of the entire human race has been paid for at the cross. That's why we rejoice in the cross. That's why the choir sang, Jesus was born to die for you. Don't just talk about the word, Jesus came to die for you. Did you know that? He came to die for us, to save us from an everlasting hell. How did God came to save us? He paid the price. A price that you and I can never pay. So what if you give money to us? I always say in my invitation, we're not asking you to join the church. We're not asking you to give money to the church. We're asking you to trust Christ as your Savior. If we never see you again, if you trust Christ as your Savior, we'll see you in heaven. Amen? This is the mission of the church, is to share with you the love of Christ. Christ died for us. God died for you. Does that disturb you a little bit? God died for me? In 1981, when I first exposed myself, my friend brought me to church. My mom was working, I went to church. And for the first time, I heard that someone died to save me from hell. And I realized that, hey, hell is a terrible place, you know. And so I put up my hand, I trusted Christ as my Savior. That was 1981. You know, I could pray, Lord, save me from hell every night. You know what? God didn't just save me from hell. One of the Christians shared with me that God didn't just save you from hell. He wanted to give you an abundant life. Point number 6. God saved us. His glorious love is not glorious only because He saved us from everlasting death, but He saved us because, or rather His love is glorious because it brings everlasting life. You see, we are all undeserving of life. But you know what God still gave to us? When my daughter broke that watermelon that day, she deserves to be psh. But you know what? I didn't do that to her. She was young. But it was wrong, right? Someone's got to pay for the watermelon. Simple illustration. Do you realize every sin that you have ever committed, someone has to pay for it? Children, every time you do something wrong, do you realize your parents pay for it sometimes? Huh? A parent sometimes, when we do wrong, you know, it breaks my heart. I hope it does yours too. When parents do wrong, their children pay for it. You see, there's always a consequence. But Jesus came to pay the price. But Brother Johnny, you know, if Jesus came to pay the price, why am I still going through this? He's coming back to make things right. When Jesus Christ comes back the second time, He's no longer going to come back as a baby. The Bible tells us He's going to come back as a King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. If you have your eyes open, in the last 3 to 4 years, the amount of earthquakes that have happened, the amount of typhoons that have happened, you know, even Malaysia was flooded in Pahang. Did you know that? And they were surprised. Alright, many parts of this world that didn't have the normal climatic conditions are experiencing changes. You know what the Bible says? You will hear wars and rumors of wars. There will be earthquakes and pestilences in diverse places. Matthew chapter 24. If Jesus, what He says is true, you can be sure he's coming back. And the world is all upheaval all over this world. Nickel Highway of all places, Singapore. Remember when Nickel Highway collapsed? Yeah, you can say it's a man's fault. People died. Someone paid for someone's mistake. But Jesus Christ came to make things right. He's coming back. And when Jesus Christ comes back the second time, He's going to come back as a King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He's going to rule this world. Do you realize when Jesus Christ comes back, there'll be no need for policemen? Because He's going to be the Prince of Righteousness. He's going to reign and He's going to be in charge. Anyone who does wrong, straight away the law will... Because He will usher in a whole place of peace. No nation of the world will have any armies. You know why? Because Jesus Christ is the Prince of Peace. 1,000 years He will reign on planet Earth. He gave us eternal life. But Christian, do you realize right now, some of you are living a Christian life that is not the Christian life that God wants you to live. You are just doing what you're supposed, your duty, but you're not growing. You're kind of just saying, I go to church and so boring. The Bible teaches, John chapter 10, verse 10, I am come that ye might have life, and ye might have it more abundantly. Jesus is not just talking about everlasting life, He's talking about life now. You know, me and my family, we're not rich, but we have a church that loves us. Amen? We have a family that cares for one another. Can you pay for that? How many of us sometimes have money and we don't have love? But you know what? When Jesus is in your heart, you have that genuine love. There was a person who said this. People talk of sacrifice that I've made in spending so much time in a place called Africa. Can that be called sacrifice, which is simply acknowledging what we owe to God? That we can never repay. Is that a sacrifice which brings its own reward? You know, if we don't follow God, you have anxiety, you have sicknesses. But when you follow God and give Him your life, Christian, the reason why we give God our lives, the only reason is because He loved you. When I was in the army, I had an opportunity to spend some time studying the cross. Okay, I had some free time, and my officer was quite nice. He gave us some free time at night. So I dedicated myself to just studying the cross. After studying what God did on the cross, one conclusion came to my mind. How can I repay? In what way can I repay what Jesus had done for me? He died on the cross. He did all that for me. For me. How can I repay? The Bible says, only fear the Lord and serve Him in truth with all your heart, for consider what great things He has done for you. If you are here today, if you have never trusted Christ, you realize God's love is so glorious. Whatever thing you have done, if you will trust Him, He will make all things right. Doesn't mean you won't pay the consequences, but it does mean that when you meet Him, He will welcome you into heaven. He will wash away your sin. He will get rid of that guilty conscience, but He will make your things right. But if you say, well, I'm going to just kick this love out. I'm not interested. You know what? God says, I have no choice but to send you to this place called a lake of fire. That's a choice. Brother Johnny, don't threaten us. I'm not threatening you. You can read the Bible for yourself. As a preacher of the gospel, I need to tell you that there is a price to pay for sin. But you know what? Jesus Christ loved us. You know, Christians, as you consider what God gave, I'm going to close soon. What gift? You know, Christmas is a time for giving presents, right? Christian, what present are you going to give to Christ this year? Have you thought of that? In the Chinese message I'm going to preach this afternoon, it's interesting. Christmas is about who? The Lord Jesus, right? If you go down Orchard Road, do you find His name there? It's interesting. It's the Lord's birthday, but no one invited Him. If Christmas Day is Jesus' birthday, no one is inviting Him for the parties. It's a bit strange, right? You know what I'm saying? It is the Lord Jesus' birthday, but no one invites Him for the birthday. It's His birthday, so-called. But no one invites Him. In your celebrations at home, do you invite Jesus by prayer? It's His birthday. You give gifts to each other, do you give something to Him? And by the way, the gift that you give to one another, it belongs to Him anyway. There's only one thing, Christians, that you can really give to Him, that it doesn't belong to Him. You know what that is? Your heart. In Proverbs 23, verse 26, my son, give me your heart. As we close, there was this king. This is for the Christians. King Frederick of Prussia, Germany, found himself in trouble. And he was fighting a particular war, and wars has been costly. He was trying to build a nation, but he was seriously short. So he didn't want to disappoint his own people. He didn't want to surrender to the enemy. So he decided to do one thing. He asked the woman of Germany, give me all your jewelry. Okay? Give me all your jewelry and melt it down for your country. Okay? And for everyone who will sacrifice for the country or your jewelry, we will give you a bronze iron as a symbol of the nation's gratitude. And each decoration, each of the bronze iron will be inscribed, I gave gold for iron. Okay, that was in 1813. The response was overwhelming. All the women from Germany gave of their jewelry, their precious things. Because they know they were giving to the nation. Alright, they were giving to the nation. Even more important to them, the woman realized, giving what I have that is valuable to me, to the king, was more important than what I wanted. And so in exchange for that gift, the woman get to wear an old bronze cross. The decorations were proof that they have sacrificed for the king. It became in Germany the established order of the Iron Cross. When a soldier dies in battle, or someone had made great sacrifice for Germany, the bronze of the Iron Cross will be given to this person as a decoration. Christians, are you willing to wear the cross for Jesus Christ? Are you willing to wear His cross? Are you willing to exchange the comforts of life for the glories of His love, for the cross? In my darkness, Jesus found me, touched mine eyes and made me see, broke sin's chains that long had bound me, gave me life and liberty. Oh, glorious love of Christ, my Lord divine, that made Him stoop to save a soul like mine. Through all my days and then in heaven above, my song would silent never, I'll worship Him forever, and praise Him for His glorious love. Oh, amazing love to ponder, He whom angels hosts attend. God of heaven, God's Son, what wonder, He became the sinner's friend. Oh, glorious love of Christ, my Lord divine, that made Him stoop to save a soul like mine. Through all my days and then in heaven above, my song would silent never, I'll worship Him forever, and praise Him for His glorious love. For God so loved the world, that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. Romans 5 verse 8. But God commendeth His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. If you are not a Christian today, would you come? Let's have a word of prayer. Let's pray. Father, thank You for the patience of the people. Thank You, Lord, You became the sinner's friend. And Lord, in a moment we're going to sing, have You any room for Jesus? But Lord, I pray that You will touch the hearts of people today. With your eyes closed and heads bowed, please. Eyes closed, heads bowed. No one looking around. We usually do this not to embarrass people, but to give you an opportunity to respond to the message. Many times in the times of the Bible, Jesus would ask the person, what do you believe? You know, you have been here listening. But you know what? Maybe God is touching your heart right now. God is doing something inside your heart. If you are finding that inside of your heart, you are saying, Brother Johnny, I've never heard it from the Bible like that. Well, maybe God wants you to respond. You know, in this church, we only care about souls, that they receive Jesus as their personal Savior. We're not asking you for money. We're not asking you to join the church. We're just asking you, are you willing to allow Jesus to take control of your life? Some of us have already messed up our lives. Some of us, perhaps through things that we have done, we try to hide, because we know if we are exposed, we will be ashamed. But Jesus came to make things right. But you know what? You need to come to Him first. But you say, Brother Johnny, I'm not a Christian. But if Jesus Christ is, that's the message of Christmas. Can I say, Christmas is not about Christmas trees. It's not about Santa Claus. It's about Jesus coming into this world to die for sinful men like you and me. You say, Brother Johnny, perhaps this is the first time I understood that. I want to be a Christian. I want to trust Jesus as my personal Savior. Could you show me how? If that is your thinking in your heart right now, we're not going to force you, but we do have concerned Christians from our church that's able to sit down with you, to just open the Bible and share with you. We're not asking you once again for money, not, we just want you to understand Jesus Christ loves you. Is there anyone who said, Brother Johnny, I understand now why Jesus came, and I want to accept Him as my personal Savior. Is there anyone like that? Just put up your hand. And I'll pray for you and get someone else to share with you. Is there anyone? I'm not sure I'm going to heaven when I die. I didn't know there was an everlasting hell. But you know, is there anyone? And say, Brother Johnny, I want to understand more of Jesus' love. Is there anyone like this? Just pull up your right hand. I'll pray for you. And ask God to ask someone to come and share with you. Is there anyone? Don't be shy. We're not here to embarrass anyone. Amen. I see that hand. Amen. Amen. Okay, just put it up and put it down. Is there anyone else? Is there anyone else? Is there anyone else? Amen. Brother Robert? Brother Robert? Yes. Yes, yes. Brother Mike? Oh, no, I want. Is there anyone else? Is there anyone else? Okay, someone will just come and tap on you and then he'll just bring you aside to share with you the Bible. So just allow him to go so that he can share with you. Okay, is there anyone else? Brother Desmond? Brother Uncle Micah? Uncle Mike? Brother Mike, yeah. Is there anyone else? Amen. Two person has responded to wanting to be sure. They're just going and just going to share with you the Bible clearly, how to be saved. Is there anyone else? No one looking around. Just, if God is touching your heart, God is moving in a special way. Is someone else? Is there someone else? Is there someone else who in their heart said, if Jesus loves me so much, then I want to follow Him as well. Is there anyone else? Thank God. Two persons has responded. Is there anyone else? Is there anyone else? Alright, Christian, how about you? What gift are you going to give to Jesus this Christmas? What about your life? You know, everything that you have belongs to Him anyway. Say, Brother Johnny, I've messed up my life. Jesus can make it right, amen? He can. I've seen it happen in this church. People's life, they have thrown off the wicked works of darkness and turned their lives over to Christ. You know, Ambassador exists for the sole purpose of allowing God to use. Is there anyone? Say, Brother Johnny, pray for me. I need to get my life right with God. Is there anyone? Say, Brother Johnny, just pray for me. And perhaps show me the way. But I'm not going to show you my way. I'm going to show you what God says based on your situation. Is there anyone? Say, Brother Johnny, pray for me. I want Jesus to be Lord of my life. I have pushed Him out. I have just done things my way. But now I realize how much He loved me. I want to give my life to Him. Take small steps. Some of you may think, Brother Johnny, if I say this means I've got to do this. No, it's just first step. Are you willing to allow Jesus to take control? Is there anyone? Christians, what about you? What gift are you going to give to Christ today? Is there anyone? In response to His glorious love. Amen, I see that hand. Put it up, put it down, I'll pray for you. Amen, I see that hand. I see that hand. From young people to teenagers, anyone else? Adults, what about you? Are you willing to give your lives to Christ? Amen, I see that hand. Amen. Anyone else? Amen, I see that hand too. Put it down, put it up, put it down and pray and say, Lord, if you've done so much for me, I'm going to do my best for you from now on, since you gave your best. Is there anyone else? Amen, I see that hand too. I see that hand. Small children, I'm sure they understand. But you know what? I'm going to work with you parents to help these young ones to grow up in Christ. Is there anyone else? Amen. I'm seeing more. You know, those who are not putting up your hands, I ask you to pray for each other. Pray for those who are putting up your hands. Anyone else? Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the two persons that has responded to the love of Christ. I pray that you give wisdom to our counselors to just explain to them the gospel as clearly as possible. That, Lord, they might genuinely be saved from their hearts. God is not about joining a church, it is about accepting Jesus into their hearts. Father, I pray for every Christian who has put up their hand today. Lord, only you know what's in their hearts. Only you know what's in their life. I don't know, I'm just a man. But God, you have allowed me the privilege of being the pastor to pray for these people. And so I pray, Lord, that you would give them additional strength. Many times it is so hard to pull away, Father, from the wrong things or pull away from habits that are bad. But God, help us not only to just to want to get rid of the wrong things, but help us to focus on the love of Christ, on His mercy, on His grace, on the plan that you have for them. Oh God, help them to see it is not the negative that you want. You want them to get rid of the negative, but you want them to push forward towards what you have for them. Oh God, I pray for every Christian, from a young person to a teenager to the adults. I pray for strength at every part of their lives. I know, Lord, as a child, there may be different challenges from a teenager to an adult, but God, I pray that your Holy Spirit is able to strengthen every single one. Lord, I pray every time they read the Bible, it will mean more to them. God, I pray your Holy Spirit will make things real to them. Lord, I pray that in the course of this week, they will see a change in their lives. Oh God, help them to commit themselves to you because you committed yourselves to us when you died on the cross. Father, thank you for the glorious love of Christ. Thank you that we are able to say to all, God loves all of us. But God doesn't want us to remain the way we are. Oh Father, I pray for one more person who may not know Jesus as their personal Savior. I'm going to pray, Father, right now that they will no longer have any peace until they find the Prince of Peace. God, may their entire life be in a mess until they come to Jesus. I'm not being cruel, but God, I pray that you will help them to see only Jesus Christ have the answer. Oh God, I will be done. I don't know what you're going to do with all of us, Father, but I do know that because you are love, you will have your best for us. And so, God, I pray that your Holy Spirit will continue to move in our hearts. We thank you for what you are doing. Continue to give wisdom to our two brethren who is sharing the Bible. Oh, God, do a mighty work today. We pray in Jesus' name. Let's stand as we just sing, Have You Any Room for Jesus?